We all know today is Father's Day, and we do want to wish from here, from Gaydon International Church, we want to wish, you know, all men a happy Father's Day, that God would just be with you and help you this day. You know, I know today sometimes may be kind of hard for some, especially, you know, for children that have lost maybe their fathers, and to not be able to call them today or send them something or whatever, you know. But the ones that do have your fathers here, you know, try to make a special effort if you can, if you haven't already done so, to try to call them today. Try to speak to them. You know, try to tell them thank you. You might say, well, there's not much to thank. Well, you know what? We need to get to a place where we realize that no one's perfect. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. And children try to throw away, you know, but no one's perfect. Till you become a father or a mother, you'll find out how hard it is. Yeah, everybody's, all adults that have children say yes, yes, amen. Come on now, you need to be on my side. I don't want these kids to come after me now. Okay. You don't know how hard it is to have children and to try to do what's right, because they're all different. And so what may work with one, and you think you have it down path and carbon copied, and all of a sudden the other one comes along and breaks it, that mold. And you got to start all over and do something else for the second and third and whatever down the line you have, you know. But you know what? Thank God for the father that you have. Maybe he didn't do everything right. Okay. Maybe he didn't say everything right. Maybe he didn't go to all your baseball games and all your soccer games and all this stuff. But you know what? Maybe he tried. We don't know what goes through the minds sometimes of people. But you know, we have to forgive. And we got to get to that level that we say, okay, Lord, you are now my father. You've taken that place. But forgive your fathers if you have to, you know, if that comes down to it. And you're in the ones that you don't have your fathers here anymore, like myself, you know. And I know a lot of people, you know, quite a few don't have their fathers here today. And that's kind of hard because you're thinking about things. You know, you're thinking about maybe you wish you could call. You wish you could drive up to their house and visit. And maybe you might regret the times you didn't. We all go through those things. But you know what? You thank God for the times that you had with them. You thank God for the times that you had. And you forgive and you go on. And you say, Lord, help me to be a good father or a good mother in those areas. You know, and probably every one of us could name all kinds of things about our fathers. But you know, we can name a lot of good things about our fathers. You know, probably we could talk about how hard they worked. You know, that's one thing I know, you know, my mother and my father divorced when I was only 10 years of age. And I know I've told the story already, but that's okay. I'll say it again. 10 years of age, you know, didn't see my father for a while. You know, things were, you know, just not good or whatever. But you know what? How God restores. Let me tell you this. The last year or so of his life, I was at a job where I could leave just about any time. So I was able to go and visit just about every Thursday for that last year. I didn't know he was going to pass away. He's never been in the hospital that I ever know of. Ever. I never went to the hospital because he was in there. Never. Died at 76, 77 years of age. 72, something like that. Never in the hospital. But you know how God will help bring healing to your life. That last year and a half, just about every Thursday was able to go just visit. Maybe go eat, go do something, bring him to the bank, do whatever. and spend that time. How faithful God is to his people. And I look back not knowing that, just a yearning in my heart to be able to go. And to go was a miracle. But the yearning in my heart to go, that was the Spirit of the Lord. Because he knew what would take place, people. He knew what was happening. And he knew what the devil would try to use. But God nullified the enemy's weapons of destruction. Cut him short, that he was not able to use those things of not having that relationship. And how the power of God moved upon those situations and brought healing. Healing. And you see, God can move upon your heart and upon your life. If your father's still alive, look, people, take the time to go visit. You may not like it sometimes. You may not like driving up. But that doesn't mean you have to stay an hour or two. Just go in and pop in for 5 minutes. You know, 5 minutes. Say, hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. Bring him something. You know what he likes. If you don't know, find something. Bring it to him. Show appreciation for the role that God put him in. That's the key. And when we show appreciation of the role that God has put him in, we have an urgency in our hearts to do what God wants and fulfill what God wants in our hearts and lives. So that when the time comes and they do pass away, that there's no regrets of any kind. And then God has to come in and try to heal those areas. Go and do. Bring something. Go to the cemetery today. What's wrong with that? They're not there. We know that. The body may be there, you know, the physical body. The spirit is with God, basically. But if you need to go, there's nothing wrong with it. Bring some flowers, you know. Do something. But because you see, your heart is the most important thing to God now. And so that's what he's trying to bring healing of. Bring healing of. Don't worry about rejection. You can't worry about that. Don't worry about how other people may feel. You don't worry about that. You worry about obedience to the Father and pleasing him and doing what God wants you to do. So do what you need to do to bring healing to your heart and life. As you obey the Spirit of God, the anointing of God will rest upon your heart and soul. Your heart and soul. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about Jacob. Jacob. Jacob is the father of who? Joseph. You remember how he had many, 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 many sons? You know, they became the tribes, but they had many sons. Jacob. Jacob was a twin, wasn't he? Jacob and who? Esau. Man, y'all good. Golly, y'all been reading your Bibles. I can tell. I can tell. Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had many sons, and we know the story of remembering Jacob and what he went through. You know, Jacob loved his sons. And as fathers and mothers, we love our children. We love our children. And all the brothers were doing, you know, kind of go quick with this because of time's sake. All the brothers were doing something far away. And Jacob sends his son Joseph to go and be with the other brothers. And as he goes, they plot to kill him. And we know the story. They take his coat of many colors that his father has given him, and they dip it into blood, and they bring it back to the father, telling him, look, your son Joseph has died. Now, we know it's not truth, huh? And that's the same thing that the devil will use upon fathers and mothers today. He will try to make us believe a non-truth to bring us in a place of grievance. that we grieve and things happen and it's almost a torment on the inside and the outside. But it's not truth. Jacob, and I know because of his sons, he believed them that Joseph had been killed. But all in aspects of life, Joseph was in Egypt, coming to be in second in command over all of Egypt's affairs. What Jacob believed was that his son was dead, the promised son, the one he thought God would use to bring Israel to a place where God wanted them, he thought was dead. But in actuality, he wasn't. You see, he was grieving the death of his son. And years went by that he never really got over it. And sometimes we may believe something because the devil has put it in our minds, or we hear something and it's not truth. And we got to cut those things off, because it will grieve our spirits. It will grieve the things in our hearts and in our minds, and we will not be what God wants us to be. He was a godly man. He loved God. And we see God allowed him to go through this for almost 20-something years by the time he found out that his son, God bless you, was second in command over all of Egypt's affairs. What we thought was dead, God brought it alive. That's the kind of God we serve, our Heavenly Father, that will help us to endure to the end and accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 42. I want to read parts of Genesis 42. Look at verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. See, he lost Joseph, and then they held him. And you will take Benjamin away? Because you see, that was Joseph. That was second in command, saying, leave Benjamin. All these things are against me. And Reuben spoke unto his father, saying, kill my two sons if I bring him Benjamin not to you. Deliver him into my hands, and I will bring him to you again. Oh, and look at verse 36 again. I want you to look. After he says, Jacob is saying, he's the father. He's saying, all these things are against me. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. You want to take Benjamin, his youngest son. He's saying, all these things are against me. How many times have we been in a place where we're thinking all these things are against us? It could be individually, could be as a family, could be as a church. All these things are against me. But in actuality, yes, he was believing all these things were against him. But in actuality, it was not truth. What was truth was Joseph was second in command. God had raised him up. See, old Slewfoot will take one little thing and he will try to make it so big and wide and truthful, which is not truth. So we got to make sure that we protect the mind, that we protect the heart, that we protect those things that God has given us. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, if you then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, talking about the rapture of the church, people, then shall you also appear to him in glory. Here we see And I know we're talking about fathers today, but let me tell you, this could apply to any and everyone. It says, if you then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. God is saying, as men, we need to seek God with everything, people. Seek Him. Seek Him. It says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto us. Seeking Him. Ladies, seek Him. You might say, well, how do I seek Him? Just take time with Him. As you're driving in your car, instead of whatever, you know, talk with Him. Speak with Him. Wake up a little early if you can and talk with Him and seek Him. Ask Him what He wants you to do that day. Ask Him for guidance and leadership. Praise Him and honor Him for who He is. Give Him the glory and honor that He so deserves. If you then being risen with Christ, we have new life with Him. Seek those things which are above. Seeking those things which come from above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And He said something very important. He says this, verse 2. Set your affection on things above. Refers to directing one's mind to a thing. Set your affection. Affection means our devotion, fond attachment, or our love towards Him. He's saying, men, look, or women. When I say men, I mean everybody. I don't say men today because it's Father's Day. But set your affection on things above. Let me rephrase that scripture. Because affection means your love, your devotion. Set your love on things above. And not on things of the earth. Set your love on things above. Interesting. Set your love on things above. See, sometimes we can love the world too much. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having things. I mean, you know. I mean, who wants to drive a car without AC? I mean, you know, come on. Nobody. Anybody? No. Especially these last weeks or two. There's no way. We don't want that. You know, who wants to live in a home without AC? Much less without electricity. But there's a lot that do. I'm telling you. There's a lot that do. Quite a few. More than what I ever thought. But who wants to have... There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having nice vehicles or nice clothes or jewelry and none of that. It's okay. There's just so... It doesn't have a hold on your heart. Just so you don't love that thing more than you love God. Set your affection or set your love on things above, not on the earthly things. That we're to have our love towards Him constantly as men. Constantly looking to Him. Now that doesn't mean we may not fail. I mean, things may happen. But to constantly say, Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You. You know, today's Father's Day, but you know, did you tell your Heavenly Father you loved Him? Or you rolled out of bed, brushed your teeth, you know, took a shower, put your clothes on and came to church. Thank God. But did you say, Father, I love You? To love Him, to set our affections upon Him, to look to Him, to keep our eyes gazed up upon Him, that He would look to us as we're looking to Him for the leadership and guidance and help that we need, that we as men would fall in love with our God and that He would fulfill His divine purpose in us. Can you imagine if the Lord doesn't come before we all die, we will all die, you know. But can you imagine as you're laying, and I know you'll be in heaven, but as you're laying in that coffin, if you could think, you know, the spirit's gone, it's There's no more. It's no more. It's like a mannequin in that coffin, really, because the spirit's gone. But if you could just think and you could say, I did all that God wanted me to do. That's a big statement, because, you know, but could you, as you're laying in that coffin, could you think, I've done all that God wanted me to do? Or would there be regrets? You might say, well, Pastor, you know, but you ask God for forgiveness and you go on and you strive to do what God wants. But could you lay your head down on that, in that coffin, and say, I've done all that God wanted me to do? That your affection and your love for God was set upon him. You know, in Matthew it says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. One area says heart, soul, and mind. The other one says heart, soul, mind, and strength. It goes a step further. That, anyway, it's all everything. It's everything, no matter what. No matter what. That we're to love God. And we need to strive with everything within us as men. That we would have our affection set upon the things above and not on things of the earth. Not on things on the earth. Everything on this earth is temporal, as well our help comes from above. People, let me tell you this. I know we work and strive for things, to have nice homes, and there's nothing wrong with that. To have nice vehicles, nothing wrong with that. To have a nice pension when we die, when we retire, not die, retire. You know, but I tell you what, when we're dead and gone, all those things are going to somebody else. All those things, can you imagine? All your jewelry that you treasure, all your clothes and shoes, all our nice apparel, you know, all our lawnmowers. All our rotting lawnmowers and all those things. But let me tell you, when we're gone, the succession starts. Might be a little fighting here or there, but somebody's getting that lawnmower and you won't have it anymore. Somebody's getting that jewelry, and somebody's getting all the lace stuff and all the furniture in the house and whatever. Somebody's getting it. Some of it might stay in the family and some may not. And all your money in the bank is going to somebody else. And we need to save money, God says too. We need to have an inheritance for our children, God says too. We need to do those things. But let me tell you, all those things are temporal. They're gone. They're gone. Can you imagine the day you die, your whole family's at Don Seafood eating on your bill? You're in the coffin and you're thinking, did I do everything, Lord? And they're celebrating. Not celebrating you died, but celebrating you made it to heaven, thank God. But they're eating on you. You know, as they're writing that check from your account, they're not worrying about what they're buying that day. They just looked at the menu and said, I want that, that, and that. They didn't look at the price. It's temporal, people, temporal. All the vehicles we have are temporal. It's temporal. Nothing wrong with them. I mean, you know, we want nice stuff. But let me tell you, we need to set our affections on things above, our love, that will last forever. That will last forever. The things, the values, men, that you have, that you give to your children will last their lifetime. And then their children and their children and their children will last a lifetime. Those things that you value, those things that you hold that are true and just to you, those godly things that you take the word of God and you mull over that word and you get it in your spirit and you give it out to whoever it is. Any person, they take those scriptures and it lives on forever and ever and ever. Ever and ever. We need to learn that we need to set our affections on things above and not on things of the temporal of this earth. That should be second. Nothing wrong with them, but second. First should be God. First needs to be God. First needs to be God. Not just that we want it, but that we need Him. That our affections are set upon Him. And that He's moving in our hearts and lives, and we're keeping Him first, and we're seeking Him. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And then as we keep our faith in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, it says the Spirit of God is leashed out towards us. My God, anyone from the youngest to the oldest can do that. Keeping our faith in Christ. Lord, I put my faith in You and You alone. And as we do that, it says the Spirit of God moves. The Spirit of God leashes out from heaven above and is upon us, helping us, giving us direction so that we have our faith in Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. What we want people to say is that that's a godly man or a godly woman. Most people don't say much, and that's just our human nature, till somebody dies. You know, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But usually not till they die, where they come out and say, you know, I remember when He helped me. When He stopped and did this, or gave me an encouraging word, or He told me this is what the Bible says, or He encouraged me this way or that way, him or her. But we need to set our affections on things above as men of God, saying, Father, help these hands of ours as men to do the work of the ministry, Lord, to do the work of the gospel, to get the gospel spread out to the world, that people will come to the saving knowledge of the gospel through the work that we do, through the things that we say, through the actions of our bodies, what we say and what we do, that they will come to the knowledge of Christ. That we yearn to be with our God, that we yearn to know our God, that we yearn to know the things of God as we study the scriptures and we ask God to give us the knowledge of things. Let me tell you, we think we know some scriptures, but let me tell you, a lot of times we don't know as much as what we think. We may know a lot and we need to learn it. But let me tell you, we need to get in that scripture daily. We need to get in that word daily. We need to get in the presence of God daily and ask God to move upon our hearts and move upon our souls. Because let me tell you, as we go before God, setting our affections as men towards God, God keeps drawing us and drawing us and drawing us by His Spirit. But any time that we stop being drawn by the Spirit of God because we are not taking the time to just open that word and say, Lord, show me things. Are we not taking time just to speak with Him? Let me tell you, we start to drift. And all it takes is just a little bit to get us off course. And if we stay on that direction, let's say God is this way. And if we stay on that course of just a little bit, just starting a little bit, before long, we won't know where we are. And we might do things that we never thought we'd do. Or say things that we never thought we'd say. Or go places that we never thought we'd go. Because we're being turned into a direction that's not good. The affections of the love of the earth or the world. We need to have our affections set upon Him. Jacob. Finally, getting back to Jacob. His sons come back to Jacob and tell him, look, we know where Joseph is alive. Can you imagine people? You know, just remember, fathers, maybe when something was happening in your life, it might have not been 20 or 30 years of passage. Could have been just 6 months or a year. And something changes and you find out something and you're going, oh, it's a relief. Can you imagine Jacob after years and years of thinking, the son that God promised him, the son that he thought that God would use, he thought, and he didn't realize God was already using, was alive. And that's the same thing with us, people. When we go through things, we need to always remember that Jesus is alive. We need to remember that. when things get hard as men and we think, Lord, I don't know where to turn to. I don't know where my next dollar's coming from. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to buy this because I need it, not just because we want it, like a lawnmower, riding lawnmower. We should all get some old push ones. We don't need guys or anything. Oh, Lord. Miss Gail, that's a Christmas, Miss Gail. Yes, thank you. We'll see him slim down. Lord have mercy. We'll sell it all. But, amen. Praise God. So just keep God first in everything, people. Men, keep God first. I know it's hard at times. Sometimes the things of this world can bombard our minds and our hearts, and we don't know where to turn. And I say men, but that's everybody. Fall on your knees before God. Call out to him. Say, if it's just the name Jesus, say, Jesus, 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 help me. Sometimes we may not be able to say it even loud enough, but let me tell you, it's the God that's saying, I see his heart. I see her heart. I see what's going on in them. And it's the God that comes and cares and takes care of those things. We're not meant as human beings to carry the weight of the world. That's why we should never have an affection or a love for the world, because it will let you down, the world. Because it's full of sin, it's full of evil, it's full of destruction. And because you and I have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus lives in us, and we're to desire the things of God and all that he has for us, to pursue him with everything within us, to pursue him. You might say, that doesn't mean we're perfect. No one's perfect. No, not one. No, not one. No one's perfect, but I mean, tell you, we serve a perfect God that can give us the strength and the ability and the power and the anointing and the presence to get the job done. And I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about anything that God wants us to do, from just our work to wherever we are, you know, that God would help us to accomplish those things. Men, I want to encourage you, live a life that is holy before God. Holy before God. Holy before God. Holy before him. To praise him, to honor him, and to love him with everything within us. And that he would call us one day. As the last part of that scripture says, one day the rapture will take place, people. You might say, well, what is that? Is it catching away of God's people? Some people might say, well, that's just a fable. Well, in the Word of God, it's not a fable. If it's in the Word of God, it's truth, no matter what. I know some people say, well, you know, I don't know how they could cross on dry ground, that there was water all over. Well, you don't realize the miracle working power of our God. Amen. That he can open up a sea and they can walk on dry ground. That's the kind of God we serve. Miracle working God. And let me tell you, God is in the midst of miracles this day. He's about to split those eastern skies. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. And so, but before he splits those eastern skies, it says that he will pour out his spirit like rain upon the earth. And the last day revival is coming. It's coming. It's being poured out. A drawing of God's people back to him. A drawing of people that once knew him, that fell back and now are coming back to him because they're drawn by the Spirit of God. The anointing and the presence of God. We need to stand under the spout where the glory falls out and is being poured out and let the Spirit of God move, people. Let the Spirit of God move upon our hearts and upon our lives this day. Amen. God bless you. Would you please stand?